afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you know, we've got Deputy Zach Jerkowitz and we have Detective Kylie Holroyd. And we're talking about their dogs. We don't actually have the dogs, but...
They're just sitting outside.
Are they both sitting outside?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're both sitting outside. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing it's not summer. If it's summer, are they sitting outside?
Oh, yeah. We got, our cars are
special,
set up.
Mm-hmm. You know,
air conditioning
in the car.
I need to find out about that. Yeah. I want that secret compartment. So we're talking about the canine program. I went to a thing last week and Shasta County Sheriff was there and had three of you.
Yes.
Yeah, we had three canine handlers and their dogs came in. And I thought, are you kidding me? How come 25 people are hearing this? This is crazy. We need to tell people about this. This is interesting stuff. So the archive of this, our friend Robert will take out the free enterprise moments, a.k.a. commercials, and we will post this for you online at wethepeopleradio.us, and you can – it's just an MP3 file. It doesn't cost you any money or anything. Send it to a friend. And if you have people that are considering a life of crime, you should send that to them first because, bottom line, there's some really tricky stuff that is much trickier than we thought. The dog that can smell
the flash drive.
That's just so weird to me because we're used to them, you know, catching people. But the drugs that are left in vehicles that still have residuals. So if you're considering transporting drugs, canine Kilo is going to sniff you out.
I'd avoid against it.
Yeah.
Bad, how long does a scent stay in a car?
It's odor is a tricky thing. There's no set amount.
Yeah.
But
depends how much residue.
Bottom line is, how would we know? Do you guys ever play around with that, though? Put something somewhere and then go back a week later and see if there's still...
No, actually, I haven't personally.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if Kylie has, but I know, you know, if people smoke fentanyl or some type of narcotic, that odor is still going to be embedded in the fabric.
Sure.
So I would imagine that it would still be able to be alerted to.
That's the car that you just push it off the cliff and leave it. You. So I was going to go back to some of the other stuff that you guys do, because you have a really interesting list of stuff, like a lot of interesting stuff. All right. So I read all your stuff first in the first hour. I'm not going to go through it all because we're going to make you tell us. So dive team, all-terrain motorcycle unit, the recruitment team, and then the canine thing. So do you do all those at the same time?
Yeah. So they're considered collateral assignments. We train... You know, each one we train different periods of the year and stuff. So like the dive team, we train once a month. And no matter what the weather is, you could be dumping rain outside. It's not raining underwater. So we're training every
month. Yeah, it's kind of something you don't consider, but right. Yeah, it's true.
So, training for dive on certain days of the week and then cane on another. You know, every other weekend we have a recruitment event. It's busy life.
Now, do you always take the dog when you go to work?
Yes, with the exception of dive. So there's no when we're doing dive stuff, there's no really need for him. But you know, if we're going to recruitments, everyone loves dogs; they want to see him.
That's true.
If I'm doing any type of overtime assignment, you know, DUI patrol or anything like that, he's going to come with
me.
DUI
patrol, I would imagine.
Yeah,
hot for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'll run.
Yeah,
or not. So when you tell people, speaking of that, I mean, because we joke about it all the time because we've seen it on TV, that people seem to always run.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, the dog was right there. Like, how did you think that was going to turn out? Because it never turns out good.
Right.
Do people really run?
Yes, they do.
Dang.
It's happened several times.
Are they on drugs when they run? Like, are people that are not on drugs, do they run?
I would say
people doing things that are stupid, or are they always
– I mean, regular people, probably not. But the people who are obviously, you know – committing
impaired.
Crimes. Yeah, committing crimes or impaired.
Yeah, what do they got to lose?
Exactly.
You know?
That's kind of where they see it.
Huh. So does the dog catch them every time?
Most times, yes. There has been times, you know, we're doing tracks and stuff, and they're too far ahead of us to where we got there a little too late. But for the most part, you know, when it's needed, they're great tools to use, mainly because someone sees a dog. A normal person would say, hey, I want nothing to do with that dog.
Because just the dog. I'm trying to think, like... On TV, I think the dog barks when it's chasing the person. Does it bark?
Yeah, so Kilo gets pretty excited. You know, if we're face-to-face with someone or if we're getting ready to clear a house,
yeah.
I give my two announcements, you know, saying, hey, I'm here. My dog's here. something bad is going to happen if you don't surrender to us.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And then they don't believe you.
If they don't believe me, then I will send my dog, you know, given the right circumstances, and let him do his job.
Now, does the dog go in on – because sometimes you see the dogs on the giant leash.
Mm-hmm.
Does the dog go in on the giant leash?
Scenario-based. It kind of just depends on what occurs and what the situation is. You know, if it's a residence where it's all secured, there's nothing I need to worry about besides, you know, that one person being there, then, yeah, I'll let him off lead. Or if it's something to where we're tracking and it leads us somewhere, then I'll leave him on the long line. So it kind of just – it's all different. Every situation is different. Every scenario is different.
When wouldn't you send the dog in?
If it's an alarm call and there's, you know, there's no forced entry, there's no reason to believe that a crime's occurring, you're going in. And what if it's a homeowner that forgot something and set off the alarm?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, we try.
Does the dog always take the person kind of down? Or does the dog sometimes just stand there and bark at them and hold them in the corner?
So they're trained to apprehend them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
I think I already knew the answer, but I'm like, is there an option where you go, okay, go scare them in the corner and leave them there? Not really.
No, they're going to bite them. Yeah. And you're going to hurt.
There's biting. Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
You know, I do have a dog story.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a career CHP officer. He retired as a sergeant. Anyway, he
had badge number 2715.
Yeah, okay. So
considering they're at 60,000 now.
Yeah.
So he was chasing a guy, and this was out in the country. He was chasing a guy, and the guy ran off the road and ran into a cornfield. Well, his backup rolled up, and they're like, okay, who's going to go in after this guy? You know, corn's 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's like, I got an idea. So he says, all right, this is Officer Jones. He goes, you come out of that cornfield or I'm going to turn the dog loose.
Nothing. Wolfing.
So he starts barking.
Mm-hmm.
Bark, 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 bark. Pretty soon you hear, I'm coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did not want to get bit.
A normal person would not want anything to do with a dog.
No.
So our main goal is, I mean, that's ultimately what we want.
Is like the threat of the dog.
Compliance yes.
The person.
We want the compliance from the person. So when we get there and we say, hey, here I am. My dog's here. If you don't come out, I'm going to send my dog. Our goal is to get them out. We want them to come out and surrender to us.
Sure.
I don't.
You don't need to hurt somebody
right.
if you don't have to, but
right.
you also want to protect yourself and your dog.
Exactly. And we also don't, yeah, we don't want to get ambushed. We don't want to do anything like that. So that's our main goal. If it comes down to it and we ultimately have to send the dog, then that's what happens. And, you know, you get apprehended.
Yeah. Well, even little dogs, you know.
I mean, little ankle biters.
Oh, man.
Everybody's always terrified.
That hurts.
They're more,
you know.
They're more vicious than mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, ask her. She got bit. Our dog bit her right on a...
Right in the bridge of my nose.
Snapped at her and
just, it was in the dark and I didn't know he was there and I
scared
like pulled the covers back and he panicked and jumped up and clipped me right where the pads of your glasses go.
Yeah.
And so then the Haven Humane showed up the next morning. We won't go into the whole thing, but he showed up and said he was gonna quarantine the dog. I go, good luck. We have two little gray dogs. But how do you even know who did it? It's my dog in my own house. Go away. And he's like, well, he has to stay inside for 2 weeks. I'm like, what are you going to do, sleep over? Yeah. I should never become a criminal. Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, any dog. I mean, they're capable of inflicting some quick pain on you if mm-hmm. you're not paying attention. So
where would you not send Tony? Where would Tony not go in?
I think the biggest... It depends, I think, just on the hazards. So I've not sent her into homes if there's, like, a lot of narcotics or paraphernalia. So I do that walkthrough, and if there's obvious narcotics sitting on the table or there's a bunch of needles or hypes or whatever it is, I won't send her into like, a dangerous situation like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what do you do when you walk into a house and there's paraphernalia and residue and everything? Do you back out and send somebody in with a hazmat suit? Or
no.
Only on TV?
Yeah, only on TV.
So what if it's fentanyl, though? I mean, that stuff, if it just even gets on you, you can get...
That's where we wear our PPE and stuff and mm-hmm. masks, gloves, and just be cautious.
Yeah,
we take extra precautions. We all carry Narcan. We do what we can to limit whatever exposure we can. So I know there's been
There's just so much of it out there anymore. It's pretty scary.
They could even give the dogs Narcan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We carry all of our expired Narcan that we can't use on our ourselves anymore, but we essentially repurpose them because it's still effective.
It's just, still effective, yeah.
Yeah, it's just that it's not as strong, I guess, of the dose. So the expired Narcan in the department actually gets reallocated for us to use or carry for the dogs, yeah. Huh. Which, again, it's still effective. It's just...
Have you ever had to use it on your dog?
No, I have not. Yeah, hopefully I never have to.
Luckily, scary. Yeah, I don't think anybody in our department has yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how close, like... With the electronics type things, if the dog gets close to those, it's not like they're gonna that there's some inherent danger. How close do they get? Like, I guess it depends on what it is.
Yeah,
so she goes stick her nose on the Dr. Pepper can.
Pretty much, and that's what I was talking about earlier. She's being trained in to like actually find the source of that odor.
Okay,
and so she'll go up and she'll
touch the thing.
Yeah, she'll hit it with her nose.
On the drugs, probably not.
Not as much.
Because that's kind of scary.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not, if I can see narcotics, I'm not going to allow him to touch it.
But about if they're hidden in a whatever?
So, if he's touching, like, say it's a box. If they're touching the box, I'm going to have him, have him touch it with his nose, but it shouldn't affect him because he's not touching that odor. He's not, ingesting the odor.
Sure.
Or the substance.
Well, you said there's residual mm-hmm. smell, so, I was going to say how small an amount can he find? Okay, he can find stuff that's not there anymore. Never mind. Cancel that question. How about the electronic stuff?
So for her, the residual doesn't affect her as much, I've noticed. For whatever reason, it doesn't, like, leave lingering stuff behind.
Interesting. Since we can't smell it at all.
Yeah, exactly. So gunpowder definitely does.
There's
a little bit more residual that I've noticed that she's done. Like, if there's a shell casing we look for, and then I remove the shell casing. I've had scenarios where she'll kind of alert, like, an area where I know... I mean, you both have shot a gun where the gunpowder sprays out or whatever mm-hmm. that lands on the ground or the rocks. You can tell she's picking up on the odor, but there's no like direct source of it. And so she's still smelling that gunpowder. She's just like, I just don't know where it is because it's everywhere. Yeah. But like when she finds the shell casing, it's, oh, okay. It's
she
right
knows
here.
It needs to be the thing,
yeah.
Not the leftover of the thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's interesting.
So I can tell that she's like in odor and she knows it's here somewhere. Well, that's just because it's the gunpowder that went off. So there's actually another shoot. I think he was one of the fishing game dogs that's cross-trained in gunpowder detection too. There was a shooting down in like the Butte County area a couple years ago. I think there was a double or triple homicide. Nice. And his dog kept alerting to this tree and like kept going to this tree and this like branch. Oops. This branch that was hanging.
We all do it.
Yeah, this branch that was hanging. And he's like, I don't know why he's alerting on this branch, but it's like he's alerting for something. It's like, okay, buddy, let's keep going. So they keep searching, and they end up finding a picture of the suspect after he had shot, like, the gun, all the gunpowder in his hand, was holding on to this branch that the dog was alerting to. Yeah. And so it's like it knows it's there somewhere.
That's impressive.
It was really cool.
You're like...
Yeah, but like I was saying, for electronics, it doesn't linger as much because it's right. not. It's all like, it's all in the device or whatever. It's not
sure.
like the how you see drugs. Are kind of,
but I did like that that description that was given at the thing last week, where I think the sheriff talked about soup, like chicken soup,
mm-hmm.
and the dog instead of smelling chicken soup yeah. smells like the noodles, yep. smells mm-hmm. the spices,
apple
smells the
theory.
Chicken, and like the apple pie, right? Yeah. I think that's kind of important because that is not the way we smell things.
Right.
And who really processes that? But what other kinds of – so you have dogs that find drugs,
mm-hmm.
dogs I'm sure that find people. You have the cadaver mm-hmm. dogs. You guys mm-hmm. don't have those, right?
Correct.
You have volunteer –
volunteer search and rescue team.
Like, yeah, the search and rescue yeah, guys have those.
The human remains detection dogs, mm-hmm. yes.
We did some shows with one of our neighbors, actually, who was with National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. He was a no-body homicide mm-hmm. expert. And they were working on dogs that could find a tooth.
Oh, wow.
Like a tooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because apparently the teeth are the last thing to degrade. And so if somebody was buried and maybe the bones had all decomposed, but there was still a tooth in there, they could find this tooth underground. And I thought, okay. Mm-hmm. There were like two dogs or something that could do that.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we never got to hear the rest of the story on that.
Like I said, you can teach a dog to smell anything.
I know. It's amazing. The slightest thing, you could train them.
Mm-hmm. So you said they did that with the electronic the stuff, the secret chemical stuff mm-hmm. that is now gone from my mind.
Triphenylphosphine oxide.
Bless America. And so they gave you a instead of like a teensy little bit of it, they gave you a like more of it.
Yeah. So our trainer, I don't even know where he found it. I honestly, I don't think I want to know where he found it. And so it was like a little bottle, like a medicine bottle full of a powdered version of this chemical.
Oh.
And so that's the whole very, very concentrated, a large amount of it. And so that's where we started with the odor detection.
Oh.
And then once she was able to recognize that odor, that's when we transitioned to the actual like devices. And it was funny because we actually transitioned on that pretty early because it was so strong. Like she was like kind of getting like, okay, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And when we transitioned to the minute amount that's in these little devices.
She picked it up pretty fast.
She said, oh, wait, I know exactly what this is. And so she started alerting and had no issues with that.
Fascinating. Wow. And with all your stuff, marijuana, all of it, is it like just the range of drugs or are the dogs specific on types of drugs?
So not marijuana. But
oh, not?
Yeah, not marijuana, just the fentanyl, methamphetamine,
cocaine. Because we can all smell the marijuana?
And heroin.
Are we the dogs?
Right. Yeah, so it's similar. I mean, they all pretty much use – we try to get as pure as we can for training purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That way – because we're getting when people get drugs or narcotics, it's coming from all parts of the world maybe. You know, mm-hmm. Mexico, Southern California, Arizona.
Sure.
It could be from anywhere. So everyone's going to be using a different cutting agent or a different type of
anything. Oh, that's true.
Anything.
They don't – yeah, these drugs all have other stuff in them.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know what people have done with them to get them to where they are now. So we try to get as pure as we can to try to teach them this is the odor we're looking for.
Hmm. It's kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter what they put with them because the underlying thing is still
– right.
Huh. And so in the break we were talking about here in California, Prop 36 that reversed our ridiculous idea that, you know, basically no one commits a crime, right? Doesn't matter what you do, you're all good. So now that you have people being, it's three things, right? You three incidents and now you're in trouble.
So two prior convictions of something, whether it be possession of narcotics or a theft. On that third one, it bumps up to a felony. Which is prison eligible.
Nice. And is it over what kind of time period? Ever?
Lifespan.
Nice. So it doesn't matter if there's no ollie-ollie in free, like, you know, it wasn't during the Prep 47, like,
right.
Like you have some sort of immunity
use your window.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right.
It's forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people who are bad and have been getting away with stuff, because, I mean, we talk about it all the time with the marijuana thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the grows on private property, it's a $500 fine. Like, mm-hmm. you're making zillions of dollars. You know, just not a big deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
But now, all these little things, you transport it down the highway and you already had two things before.
Yep. Goodbye. Prison eligible.
Yeah. And prison eligible. I like that.
There's enhancements as well for, you know, if you have a certain amount of weight, each weight class, you know, you get certain enhancements in sentencing.
And so with all this, we don't have any, do we have any personal use for anything other than marijuana? We don't have that, do we? Because they're talking about it. They're talking about mushrooms and stuff and some other – and Oregon has – they get to use all sorts of weird drugs.
I think Oregon
do that.
I'm not too sure.
Reversed a lot of that, though. I think
they did?
They realized it was a bad idea to
– green lighting everyone using drugs was a bad thing?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Even Oregon figured
so
it out.
So if you assault a police dog, that's the same as assaulting an officer?
Not to the same extent.
Darn.
So I actually had a scenario where it led to an apprehension. During the apprehension, my kilo was hit with a stick, you know, a tree branch of some sort. I charged it's a misdemeanor, and it's just assault on a police canine. There's two different ones if they're, you know, the initial assault and then one if they're actually injured.
Mm.
Charge them, and they go up through the process, and they're both misdemeanors. So, you know, they work it out and figure out what they're doing, and they can get prosecuted for it.
Good. They should. So, we have to take a really quick break. I just noticed. I don't know what the heck is going on with the time. I feel bad for you guys. Did you want to do anything with your day? Because the time's going really fast today. Your day is almost over.
We're good.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Stepping through the fire. Walking, walking, walking on the wire. In the lap and the lights go out. Nobody gonna save you now. Stepping, stepping, stepping through the fire.
And he can't be in your house, but he can be in the home place unless he's been trespassing.
In the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, and they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was. Glory be.
There you go. There's a throwback. An ancient band named Paper Lace. Let's say you were on the radio talking about your job. And you're thinking, I really wish people knew this, and they don't. What is that? I mean, most of us don't know anything about K9, but we asked you a lot of questions, and that's all we've there's stuff,
yeah, mm-hmm.
that you kind of wish people figured out. Don't stick our hands in the car. We know that. Don't pet the police dog.
Always ask the handler.
Always ask the handler.
Yeah. Most of the time, I mean.
Except for Kylie's dog that's eating food off people's plates at the at luncheon.
Shh, I did warn everybody.
I know you did. You totally did. And I was like, that dog's not going to do it. The dog's totally going to do that.
Yeah.
No, but really, when you're out there really doing your job, mm-hmm. What are things about the canine police, being police with canines that maybe is interesting stuff people just don't know anything about? What's the benefit? You have a dog for a partner.
Yeah,
how fun is that?
You have an animal, or you have your dog as your best friend, your partner.
Yeah, they're not all chatty.
It's
and
better than a human partner.
Borrow your phone or anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kilo's pretty chatty.
Yeah, he's a barker like we talked about earlier. Every time I grab the radio, he knows we're about to do something. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
bad.
Gets all excited when he sees the radio?
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah, when I turn the lights on, when my gas gauge beeps at me saying that I need gas, he thinks it's something to do with work. So he's like, oh, let's go, let's go. And so he's barking at me and getting a little chatty.
I thought you were going to say he knew how much gas you had in the car. I'm like, I'm going to need one of those.
No. But yeah, I mean, always ask a handler before, petting their dog. Just if a handler says no, just be aware that it is a police dog and it is working. When that collar's on, they know it's work time. At home, they're completely different dogs. Whatever collar they're wearing. So, in my situation, I have a pinch collar on them and a fur saver. So it's just like a chain link, almost, that wraps around them. It's just something I can clip on really easily if needed. Just a type of collar. So that's something that he wears daily. The fur saver he's always wearing unless he gets baths or stuff like that. The pinch collar is like his work collar.
Those are kinds of little stabby things on them.
Yeah. Kind of just like a little correction tool.
Yeah.
When that pinch collar is on, he's like, oh, it's work time. Like he gets excited. He knows he's going to work. He jumps in the car immediately and completely different dog. When we get home, I take it off. He's relaxed. I can get my kids and come help me feed him. And he's completely different. Where when that collar's on, he may be a little bit different. So if a handler says, no, he's working. That's not, maybe a different time, then that's when, you kind of just kind of step back and let him do his thing.
How about Tony? Tony's kind of always in friendly mode, but not really.
Yeah, she still has work mode. Even this morning, she knows when I'm getting ready for work versus just going to the grocery store or whatever. And as soon as she's, same thing, she sees her collar.
Who had the, one of you had, one of the dogs had a
little beeper.
Like a beeper collar?
Yeah. So Tony,
had the beeper collar?
So she actually does so well off leash or off lead. She's a lot better without it, without a leash. But she still gets a little spun up. So I have a, it's a, it's technically like a shock collar, but it's really not a shock. It's something I got on Amazon, but it has a little beep to
it. Yeah, we have one of those.
Yeah, so I can just hit the beep button, and it's just for it to help with recall.
Snaps her out of it.
Yeah, to get her attention and stuff. Exactly. So
nice.
Yeah.
So how long have they had police dogs?
Oof.
Have we always had police dogs?
The sheriff's office. I want to say our first dog was back in like the 50s. It was actually
That's actually older than we are.
It was, it was a bloodhound that was actually shared between a couple different counties.
Oh, old bloodhound.
Yeah. So her name was. It was actually a female dog, Henrietta the Bloodhound.
That's funny.
Was our first canine in Shasta County, and the sheriff himself was actually the handler, and so they passed Henrietta around, I guess, a couple different counties, just whenever she was needed. So, but yeah, our canine program has always been around. We actually have a nonprofit that funds our whole team, which is just an incredible.
So, what's
thing.
It cost for a police dog?
Yeah, we didn't do that.
Yeah,
and we do want to talk about the nonprofit because for people who want to support it, I would actually like to post something on here that people.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. So the cost of a canine varies. Also depends on it. Depends on the type of dog and the breed. So Tony, because of what she does and what type of dog she was a little bit cheaper. But like a working on patrol dog, just to purchase the dog itself and then get it through that handler school is about $15,000.
Yeah, it ranges from like $12,000 to $20,000 just depending on the dog.
Yeah.
And that's for the initial training.
Yes.
That's just for purchasing the dog and getting the initial training with the dog.
Yeah. Right. And so that's all done through our nonprofit. They get donations to be able to purchase the dog and then pay for the training. And then once the dog is trained and certified, which we actually had two dogs get certified this last, 2 days ago, Friday. To add to our team.
Mm-hmm.
The nonprofit actually donates the dogs to the County of Shasta. They accept the donation and then they get officially deemed police dogs or deputy dogs. Then the nonprofit continues to pay for like our vet bills. And I'm trying to think what else they pay for, like equipment and gear
trainings. They pay for the equipment gear. They pay for the vet. They pay for, so when we go on vacation, we have to have our dog somewhere. So we board them with a local vet here and they actually pay for 1 week of our vacation to board them while we're there. Without our nonprofit, our canine team wouldn't exist.
Yeah, there's no way.
That's
too
much money.
We have the canine budget that the county pays for and gives the sheriff's office, but that only pays for we get a stipend per the law to be a canine handler, and then the county pays for our food, and then like our hourly wages when we're doing training. But other than that, like we wouldn't be able to afford to purchase the dogs to train them.
When you initially get the dog, it's been trained in, I don't know, your basic whatever they're searching for. They have to acclimate to the new owner, don't they?
Mm-hmm. That's where they spend their 30 days bonding period with that new owner to try to build that rapport, build that relationship.
Right. That makes sense, yeah, because you're basically getting dumped off on a total stranger and they have to figure out who's who.
Yeah, and sometimes some of these dogs, we've had dogs that they're 2 years old by the time we get them. I was really lucky to get Tony when she was only 5 months old, but like you said, like
they only work for like 5 years or something.
It depends.
Depends on the dog.
Yeah. It depends on the dog and the breed, and then what it does. Like I would imagine Tony, I'll be able to get more years out of her because of her breed and then what she does. It's not as physically, physical job as much, but,
The dog driving around in the back of the car, their hips eventually start to go out and stuff like that.
Sure.
Because they're swaying, they're driving and trying to sway. So it's more active movement for the dog, let alone you're now chasing somebody, going through Manzanita, whatever, they may get. They get scars and battle wounds and stuff.
So what happens when they get retired?
So our friends at Shasta County Canine, which is our nonprofit, they actually donate $1 and we purchase them from the county.
Okay.
And we get to adopt them, and they're now our dogs. And
yeah, because I imagine you get attached to your dog.
Yeah, yeah.
They spend retirement with us.
Yeah.
So I want to say we have 3 dogs right now that are currently retired. We had one that retired about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. mm-hmm. who still lives at home with his handler. We have another one. So that was Thor. We have Fritz that retired a couple years ago. And then we had Ace who retired. We had Ace that retired a couple months ago also.
So when you have your dog at home, does he like go around sniffing out your cell phones and your computers? And
So that's actually a really good point. A big part of that relationship is they know that we're the boss. Mm-hmm. So they actually won't work unless we tell them to.
Tell them to go look for it.
So she's constantly, just like Kilo, before walking around or whatever, they're constantly smelling this stuff and smelling this odor, mm-hmm. but they're not going to alert on it because the boss didn't tell them to alert or to, hey, we're going to work now. Hmm. But constantly, obviously she's smelling it. I mean, I carry 2 cell phones and a gun on me during work every single day.
Sure.
So she's constantly familiar with that odor, but she's not going to just.
We were on a trip over to the coast one year and we went into a store. Remember that big German Shepherd that was in there? And the lady said, yeah, he's a ex, police dog. He's a drug dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, but that's interesting. She goes, yeah, people come in and he's like sniffing them.
I know.
Like,
okay, you're gonna
probably leave your gun, your drugs in the car.
Yeah, you can take the dog out of the police work, but not the police work out of the dog.
Right.
Yeah. So how many canines do we have now total in the sheriff's department?
We have six now.
Six, which is awesome. We haven't had six in
a long time.
Yeah.
And do they all, so what do they all do? You've got?
So we have 5 that are dual purpose, the drug detection, narcotic detection, and apprehension. And then you have Kylie's dog, who's the ESD dog.
Yeah.
Hmm. And is that about a normal amount? Like how many sheriff's deputies are there?
Ooh, there's
ballpark. 60.
Yeah, 60 to 70 sheriff's deputies.
Maybe 50 to 60 if we take out the sergeants, like patrol deputies.
And so, and with 6 dogs.
So the goal, I think the goal they're shooting for.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
The goal they're shooting for is to have one on each shift. So the way we break up our shifts are, it's 4 different ones. You know, you have a day's and then Graves, and then just split it down the middle.
Sure.
So you have a dog on each shift. That way they're capable of responding to whatever's needed.
Yeah, if something comes up, you can call the canine.
Right. And then we recently just added the one to Bernie. And then whenever we need to search for a firearm or electronic devices, we call Kylie up and she'll assist us as needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know what we would be really cool to have, because we have right now, we have 3 in South County, because we have 3 different substations throughout Shasta County for the sheriff's office. So we have 3 in South County. I think we want 4 dogs for South County.
Now what's considered South County?
Everything but Bernie and the city of Shasta Lake. So down to Cottonwood, Igo, Platina, Viola, Shingletown, Lakehead, Costello.
And that's a swath of land.
Exactly. Yeah. So our South County patrol deputies cover the most ground. So I know we want one on each shift for South County and then for each of the 2 smaller substations. So Bernie now has a resident dog, and he's available to call out even if he's not working.
Sure.
And then one for the city of Shasta Lake.
Huh.
I mean, if it was up to the sheriff, and he talked about this last week, if it was up to the sheriff, every deputy would have a dog in his car with him.
That's what I was kind of curious. And so if you have a dog, do you have a partner?
Built-in backup.
Well, I mean, okay. So I get that dog's kind of a partner. But.
We don't have we don't ride doubles, so I don't have a human partner sitting in the
nobody's bathroom. Having one.
Nope. Unless it's like a special assignment or they're out doing DUI patrol.
So everybody's kind of on their own without – now, so that's why you need more dogs.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have to tell people how to get more dogs. So we have to take a really quick break, and while we're doing that, we're going to get the lowdown on how to find out how to get more dogs. And then we will tell all of you. So you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a rolling on down to San Antonio.
Well, hey, Mr. Policeman. Bet I can drive faster than you can. Come on, hoss, let's have some fun. Go on, shoot me with a radar gun. You look bored and I sure am. Catch me if you can. Hey, Mr. Policeman. I got a 75 fiber Trans Am. With a 455 up under the hood, me and my brother got a running good. Wake up behind them old Ray-Bans, catch me if you can. Go!
You should probably check on Brad Paisley. He seems like he has first-hand knowledge there. That seemed a little too realistic. I tried to find one where it had the dog in it, but, you know, nobody's writing songs about the cars. They're fixated on the stupid cars and the lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not the good stuff. All right, so talk about the fundraising side. What supports the program?
So it's actually our 501(c) that we have. It's ran by Shasta County. It's called Shasta or Friends of Shasta County K-9. Okay. Sorry.
Good name.
So it's we show up to events. We have a booth. We sell sweatshirts, T-shirts, little stuffed animals with the dogs with bios on them of each one.
Oh.
Little poker chips with their faces, their pictures and stuff, stickers.
That's a fun idea.
We have K-9 patches.
I brought some for you guys, too.
Oh, she's got little patches. I'm going to check for secret hidden cameras. I don't know if you're to be trusted there. Oh, yeah, that's neat. I need to take a picture of that, too. I'm going to post all this online.
Yours to keep. Thank you for having us.
Oh, wow. Got swag. You know, we should have people in the studio more often. This is turning out to be a good deal. No, and just so for folks that are listening, give me some time to get home and post it, but I took pictures of the things we were talking about, the chess piece mm-hmm. and some of that stuff, so you can see kind of how realistic it is, because it's really crazy.
Yeah, next time you go to your neighbor's house, see if the handle on their hairbrush unscrews.
I know, right? And so your Facebook page, you said, was...
Yeah, so it's Friends of Shasta County K-9, and then the picture, it's like a German Shepherd with like the best Sheriff Star badge in the background.
Like is it the sticker?
It's the part on the right corner that looks similar.
Oh, there's different dogs.
Yeah. It's a pack of all our different dogs.
Oh, my. It's literally a pack of dogs.
Yeah. So the Facebook page is probably the best way to see kind of what events we're up to. We try and post like when we're going to events or when we're at events. And then it also has a link to our website and like a donation link to be able to support the nonprofit, which eventually supports the team. Yeah.
You can go get stickers with all the dogs' names on them, and they look like the dogs.
We have some.
We saw this dog.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff that makes great stocking stuffers and like presents for little kids and everything.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
that's good, really fun.
Good community relations when you
help. And that's the biggest thing that we try to do is show that, you know, to these younger children that we're good people.
You know,
cops are good. If you need help, go to cops. And everybody loves dogs, so it's a good PR thing.
That's true.
Especially Kylie's dog. She's very friendly. She's the queen of all kindergarten schools.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
We do a lot of
face licking.
Oh, yeah. Tony and I go to a lot of schools, but it's great for the community, not only just the community, but like the younger generation to be able to interact with law enforcement mm-hmm. and also interact with a actual working canine.
Sure.
To where we have a canine that we know is family friendly. All of our dogs on the team are friendly, but at the end of the day, they still have a job.
They still have a job.
Right. But to have a dog that, yes, she has a job to do, but she's a little bit more family-friendly, and they can interact with, this is a real police dog. She might lick your face, but she's a real police dog. So it's really
That's
cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are kids – do kids all know that you have police dogs? I mean, is that a unique thing for them?
Because
I don't really – when I was a kid, we didn't have police dogs.
Well, when we go,
I don't remember police dogs.
When
ever.
We go to the events, that's something that we explain is, hey, we have a dog type of thing, and everyone's eyes light up. So it might be a surprise, but you don't understand how many times I've been at an event and I'm trying to show Kilo off, and a little kid walks up and says, "Where's Tony?" And I'm like, "Oh,
right,
throat
punch,
yes.
Unbelievable."
Because she goes to so many schools, many.
Oh, well, they've already met. Tony.
Yeah, they've already met her because
and they're like, "This dog, he just seems like a regular."
I can't touch this dog. I want Tony.
I want the touching dog.
Yeah, and it's a great educational piece for us to be able to explain. Hey, this is if you want to touch a police dog or you want to say hi, there's a way to go about it. So really teaching that dog safety
with recruitment, is this a?
Oh yeah,
this got to be kind of a lure.
Big tool.
You're like, let's see, do I want to spend my whole day like fighting crime? And then I get to go to work with a dog every day. And
it's awful.
Like,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can either become a firefighter or you can, have a dog and
right.
be good.
Nobody gets to take a dog to fires, right?
Yeah, firefighters don't get dogs.
But you do arson.
She does.
You do arson. Yeah. So I knew somebody did arson.
Yeah.
Well, not you don't do arson.
I don't do arson. Right. I should probably clarify. Yeah.
You do arson investigating.
Correct.
So is that dog arson investigating?
Or no.
Is that you?
That's me. Yeah, so there, Shasta County has, it's called the Shasta Arson Task Force, where it's like
that's a pretty tricky name.
Yeah, so it's a more of like an interagency collaborative effort. So when we have like suspicious fires or like a fire involving a death, it's not just like based on, because everybody has their own jurisdiction. It's a way for especially the firefighters to be able to pull other resources in and pull other expertise in from the, our other allied agencies, to be able to do that investigation. So my role in that is helping with determining, is it criminal in nature, especially if we have a fire involving death, is it criminal in nature or is this an accident? And then the firefighters on the other side of it, they work on like the actual fire investigation stuff. And again, just more of a resource pool, but yeah.
How'd you wind up doing that?
So it's actually a collateral assignment.
You accidentally take a class and they get roped in.
It's funny you mentioned that. I've been so in my office we have our little signs with our name and like it says detective underneath. So I did one too many fire related trainings and they put junior firefighter under my name tag. So it was pretty funny. But I've done a handful of classes. So we have our collaterals within like the sheriff's office. Like that's what recruitment team is and canine and dive and ATMU and SWAT and all that stuff. But for our, the major crimes unit, which is the detective division that I'm in, we have our own collaterals on top of that. And so the arson task force, like our role on the arson task force is a piece of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I have done a lot of fire investigation courses. I've spent way too much time with firefighters. It makes me uncomfortable.
We won't go into that. So how much of that do we have here?
The
like, fire stuff that you would need to go investigate.
It really varies.
Does it go in waves?
Yeah, it goes in
seasons.
Seasons.
Yeah. I mean, so when you do fire investigation, are we talking like... Because I was thinking immediately like buildings.
Right.
But do you also do fire investigation out of buildings?
It depends on the jurisdiction. So there's a super complicated map that I can barely read that CAL FIRE kind of holds the reins for. So depending on different areas of the county, like the criminal jurisdiction could be the sheriff's office, and then sometimes the criminal juristicsion is the CAL FIRE investigators.
Oh, okay.
Or like the...
Of course they would have them.
Yeah.
Well, City of Reading Fire Department, they have their own investigators,
right?
Don't they?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so the fire department, they're part of the arson task force too. So we... Okay. So again, we talk about it comes in waves. Last November, within a week, like the week of Thanksgiving, we actually had three fatal fires that were all in sheriff's office jurisdiction. So I got called out three separate times.
Wow.
Thankfully, it's obviously unfortunate, but thankfully all of those were accidents. So while we do respond out to every fire involving a death, and I go out for all of those too, comes in waves, most of the time they are accidents. And so we as a task force really take the time to try and educate people on like fire safety and working smoke alarms and escape routes and everything like that with our platform. But Tony usually goes with me just because everybody likes to see her.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes things a lot easier when she's with you.
Do you look for – is she a
– arson.
Yeah, an arson smeller?
No. We've used her on fire scenes before and actually use fire scenes as training opportunities for her, especially if we have like a melted gun or shell casing, something where I'm like, hey, I don't know if she can alert on this because of whatever reason. Yeah, she has. So we've done like melted fire
those noses.
Shell casings.
Crazy.
Yeah, we'll bring her out for that kind of stuff. But CAL FIRE, I think, has one arson dog in the state. We had one fire a couple years ago that we brought the Reno Fire Department dog over, who was an arson dog. Very cool. Also a lap. So I was a little...
You're all...
yeah.
We're doing it. Yeah, how many of them are labs? They're mostly your shepherds and your... Malinois and
For the patrol side, they're going to be the shepherds and Malinois.
Why?
Just their abilities.
Because nobody takes the other dog seriously.
It's just their abilities. I mean, you look at a Malinois, and he sees somebody on the other side of the fence. They're going to get that person if they need to. So they're going to jump that fence. Where another dog could, you know, go to the fence, run all the way down one end, try to find a way. Run the other way, try to find a way to get in.
Meanwhile, the guy's in Ohio.
Right. Where Malinois, I mean, their brain is just their drive. They're going to run, jump over that fence, and get there as quick as they can.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're pretty amazing dogs, though. I've seen a lot of videos of them, and they're unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, the labs are like the sniffer dogs. So when it's they're only using for detection. But for the Belgian Malinois and the Shepherds, they both have good noses, and they're really agile, so you need them to be able to do that physical apprehension.
They're fearless.
I don't know what lab we could train to do the kind of bite work that the other dogs can do.
Bite work. Who gets to be the bitee?
We both have.
We all have.
Oh, really?
It's kind of like a rite of passage. If you're interested in canine, you come out, you hang out with the team.
They hand you the suit.
They hand you the suit.
The big puppy thing.
Yeah. But the biggest thing is you know, training is just as good as how the agitator, the person who's getting bit, is going to be. So if you have someone who's just going to sit there.
If they're just going to stand there, that's not very fun.
Yeah. So you got to get into it and you got to fake it like, oh, that hurts. Get this dog.
Run, run, run.
Yeah. So it's all fun. I mean, in the end, the dogs, it's all play to the dogs. They're not out trying to hurt people. They're trying to make us happy and they're trying to have fun with it. Their tails are wagging. And I mean, Kylie could take a bite from Kilo right now and take the sleeve off, take the suit off, whatever it is, come up there and pet him, and she'll, you know, pet him and
they don't hold a grudge. Yeah.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
Right.
Hey, so when you catch, people, do you have to put them in a different car? You don't put them in the car with the dog.
Right. So
that would actually be kind of fun though. That's really a deterrent.
So our whole back car is just for the dog for the most part, besides a small portion of the trunk. So there's no passenger area. So another car will transport them and take them. So,
I know.
You have special seats for the dogs? I mean, do they have like a flatter?
Yeah, it's just a flat, like a flat kennel almost.
Right.
You know, like a cage where they're, you know, they can't get out. Mm-hmm. There's the windows are grated to where no one can stick their fingers in or hands in and pet the dog.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And it has what? It runs all the time, has an air conditioner that runs, especially here where it gets so hot in the summer.
Right. And we have, Zach actually has his on his belt. Our cars are wired for heat sensors. There's two sensors in the car, and it tells us the temperature. Mm-hmm. And if, sort of, for whatever reason, like if the car fails or something happens,
the buzzer goes off your dog is roasting.
Yeah, we know how hot the car is.
Gee, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
See, where was that in things we don't know? What else are you hiding?
That's it. There's a button on here in case, you know, I do get in a fight. I can open the door. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Release the hounds.
Yeah.
Right? You have a release the hounds button?
I do.
What a horrible
Stop
feeling.
It.
Yeah. You're whooping up on an officer and all of a sudden you see the door open.
Does the door open?
Yeah. Door. It's spring loaded,
see it
so it opens. And
we're going to look.
Oh.
Yeah, really? Does it say anything? Like,
nope. It has a beep and then the door pops open.
Huh. So do you tell the people, or are you kind of busy at that point?
Yeah, I mean, like we give them announcements like, hey, like my dog's gonna come bite you, whatever it is, and we push the button and here he
and
comes.
Then shazam, the dog comes out and gets him.
Yeah,
interesting. So how often? I mean, in real life, like how often do you have to deploy the dog?
Well, every you know where they're actually apprehending somebody. I've had the dog for I think I'm going on my second year, maybe my third, and I've only had three apprehensions. So the deployment side of it in hundreds, you know, that's where we get our felony surrenders.
But
with the people.
But the I have the dog, therefore you don't want to meet the dog.
Exactly. That's
is like 100% of the time.
That's often, yeah. Every time the dog comes out, we give them that opportunity to surrender to the dog, and they do for the
You give
part.
Them the opportunity of what?
To surrender.
Oh, to surrender.
Yeah.
You have the opportunity not to meet the dog.
Yeah.
the word opportunity confused me.
I mean, just recently we had someone who's, you know, somewhat barricaded inside of a house. You know, we know that they're there. They don't want to come out. They're obviously wanted for a violent crime. So, you know, doors open and our dog comes up. You know, we're there for 10, 15, 20 minutes giving our announcements like, hey, come out, come out, come out. They don't want anything to do with it. Door opens, dog right there barking. And as soon as I gave my first command, okay, wait, what's going on? Why are you guys at my house?
Because like, we've been out here for 20 minutes yelling at you.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they wear special suits to keep from getting stabbed? Or
that's right. We asked that.
Yeah, we do not, or they do not. Just with the heat, you know, they could potentially overheat while working, and something for the bad guy to grab onto. And
right.
I mean, I've seen videos where the dog's on a bite, and the bad guy grabs him and then throws him off a bridge or stuff like that. Where luckily, you know, she was able to save her dog because she was still on the line on the leash.
But, oh.
It's just something that we have to, you know, try to think of and try to avoid.
But but there was some sort of stab stuff. What was it?
Like a stab-proof vest?
Yeah.
There is,
didn't you say that? What, and it was called something that I forget. But it was like metal, like links of metal or something?
Oh, that's the fur saver that I have.
Oh, the fur saver thing.
Yeah. But that's not like, that's just a collar.
Oh, it's just a collar.
Right.
I missed that part. Yeah. Yeah, I remembered that. And I was thinking, wait, do they wear something like that? No. Mm-mm. Huh. Nope. I don't know. I think the whole thing's kind of great, actually. So I really we'll get all this stuff posted on here so that people can see how to support the program. Mm-hmm. And so if people are thinking about this as a career, do you guys do this on a regular basis? Like you have, I don't know, like a career day or something like that? Like,
yeah.
Let's do a little promotion here.
Yeah, we do career days pretty often. I know a lot of the schools like to have us too, and then whatever recruitment events. Usually, it's very rare for there to be an event where either Zach and I aren't there. But I think the biggest takeaway is like we would be our K-9 team would be nothing without the support of the community and Friends of Shasta County K-9. We'll be at Cool April Nights. We have another event in the fall at Dill's Deli that they do to support our team.
Oh, cool.
Come out, meet the dogs, see some demos. And
people have questions, we know how to find you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come say hi.
Deputy Jerkowitz, Detective Holroyd.
Thank you so much.
And Yo Dogs that we're going to go see.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks you can find
on.
Us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Archive will be up later today.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?